Welcome to USA Football's Coach and Coordinator Podcast, where top football coaches from around the country share their stories, philosophies, concepts, and strategies to help you get better on and off the field. Now, here's your host, Keith Grabowski.
Thank you for joining us for another episode of the Smart Coaching Podcast, and I am joined by our guest hosts, Dr. Brian Garrity and Dr. Clayton Kuklick. Guys, great to be talking with you here in Week 10.
Thanks, Keith. Yeah, looking forward to a good Week 10.
Thanks for having me back. Apologize for the quick disappearance last week, too, where I didn't get to say goodbye. I'm sure you were distraught about that.
I was. I was really shaken. It was not great communication on your part, which leads to today's topic. And, you know, we're in Week 10, and you would think maybe communication strategies would be something that we'd want to start this season with. And we did. We had some of those things. But, you know, we're at the point right now where we're tying up the season, and it's teams that maybe things have disappeared, and they're all working towards the end. Communication, I think, is crucial, both for the coach and the player, and a lot of strategies and things we can pick up on, like body language, tone, etc. But I think it's important as well to talk about the teams who are heading into, you know, what a lot of guys refer to as a new season. They're going into the playoffs, and in a lot of ways, the objectives change. It's win or go home. It's not like we can fail and learn from this week and move on the next week. So kind of a balancing act between making sure we do the right things to maintain our culture and communication, while at the same time we do have to find ways to meet that objective that we're playing next week. So a lot to talk about here and to chew on, and I'll kick it over you guys to get it started.
Yeah, Keith, I think it's a good example of, in either case, I mean, you talked about two different ends of the spectrum, you know, where we're going into the playoffs or where we have to kind of regroup and finish out the season. And in either case, I mean, I still think there's opportunity where we're still trying to communicate our message. And in those two examples, it can be our perhaps opportunities in which we lose focus on our message that we're still sending to our team in either case.
You know, off the bat, the way that we frame it, which is exactly what you did, Keith, that so many of us do, is that it's every week is the season. If we lose a couple games, playoffs are out, and therefore the whole season is down the toilet. I think going back to those core beliefs and the foundation for your program, recognizing that in a way you want to frame it, I would try to frame it more as competition. And it's funny, we've been talking about this in class, and the definition of excellence and the origin of the word, the Latin origin, compete means to strive together, to really kind of push somebody with somebody to achieve a higher performance than you could on your own. And so when that becomes the ideal, when you're out there, you know, coaches have various idioms that they say, you know, you're still chopping wood, Kaizen, and getting better every day, continuous improvement. When you're out there as a competitor, you know, that's the outcome, is that it doesn't matter if you're playing a so-called lesser opponent or if you're competing in the playoffs, you want to go out and compete and be the best that you can every day. And that's really what it means to be a competitor. I mean, that's the definition. So if you're communicating those things and those values become the foundation and the bedrock, you know, then you can't go awry because you're always on that line. It's win or lose or pack it up and go home, then forget about it. So that was the point, Keith, was too, just about kind of looking at why we're out here, why do we even have sports, and going back to those foundational things. And that provides at least a base for a coach's communication strategies too, and how we're going to deal with some of these mid-season or end-of-season kind of issues that come up.
Yeah, I think part of it is human nature. And as we talk about those two different sides of this spectrum, the team that's out and, you know, is going to pack up the equipment in a week or so, and the team that has everything in front of them still, focusing on that team that is out and thinking about, you know, we do set that message, we do want to communicate. I think there's some opportunity here really to go back to the whole idea of learning and growing together. I know I've been in those seasons before, and in some ways the pressure is off, and for some of the, especially those younger teams, that might be a good thing at times, that now you can go back to focusing on their growth a little bit, where they might have got uptight and too focused on the wins and losses. So get late in the season, it's the playoffs are out of reach, the conference championship's out of reach, and you can go back to, guys, we have to get better. This is about next year. But at the same time, not forgetting that senior who's graduating, and I know that's a tough topic to handle with those guys too, to bring those guys to the finish line in a positive way, and then to get those other guys ready moving forward. And I think you said it goes back to the message, but now it's also about the effective communication strategies, because I've seen situations before where a kid can pick up on that coach who maybe is a little bit worn out from the season and emotionally a little burned down, and they identify, or you hear them, you know, talking to their groups, hey, he's just checked out. So you got to avoid those situations, both with the players and the coaches.
Yeah, I think you bring up a couple of different scenarios in that example. And the thing that makes like communication so complex is that I mentioned, like, you know, going back to that message that we're sending, that growth mindset. Yeah, and that's one area where communication would be used, but we have it in the team setting where we're trying to communicate a message. Maybe we're trying to communicate with an individual player that message, individual player in relation to developing a skill. Communication is involved. To make it even more complex is that communication can come in multiple forms. It can be visual, verbal, it can be something physical in relation to like touching or putting your hand on the back of an athlete or something that's sending a message in a certain way. You can try to think about what we're trying to get with some of our actions, what we're showing, and then obviously what's coming out of our mouth. And we kind of want to, one of the effective strategies for communication skills is trying to align all of those messages, being verbal, what's coming out of our mouth, what athletes are seeing, and then also times if we can involve that physical component, obviously being careful with what we're doing there. But those are all examples of where all communication takes place and how to go about doing that through different media.
Well, I mean, the part of the piece too, like you said, is going back to the actual practices that are leading up to this. If you got a coach or an athlete or anybody that's checked out, burnt out, or cumulative fatigue, however you want to frame it, what's happened earlier in this year too that's built that up? If you're sitting there watching the film till 3 a.m. or, you know, sleepless nights, if you're not managing stress throughout the season, if every day you go out and you're just yelling at folks and it's a grind and they don't want to be there, well, I mean, the environment leading up to that needs to change too. There's a reason why people don't want to stick around and do things. So hopefully the pressure to win or perform isn't so great too. But a lot of times at the end of the season, it's time to have a little bit of fun, the haze in the barn type of thing. Not going to maybe change too much or grow exponentially all of a sudden. You're going to start fine-tuning things or getting ready for those week-to-week opponents. You don't also want to freak out and stress out about it too. So it's a good time to remember to have some fun, play some games, you know, bring some outsiders in if you need a little break yourself. Provide a new message or reinforce the same message. So there's different ways to handle that and communicate that to the team as well.
Yeah, but I think that's also a good example perhaps of how things can get out of alignment. We may be sending this message, oh, growth mindset, but we as a coach and we're kind of deflated, we've kind of checked out perhaps, and see how that's a kind of a disconnect. The visual perception of what athletes are seeing is like, this guy's body language is showing something different than what's coming out of their mouth in respect to the message, yeah. Which at times can be problematic, and it could be the message in relation to where we're going moving forward, or the message in relation to maybe a skill development at an individual level as well.
John, what do you think of you know, those coaches that are able to be consistent, maintain energy, enthusiasm? You know, some of them aren't jumping up and down, hooting and hollering type guys, but they're able, they show up every day and they coach. You know, they get to work, they punch the clock. You know, what is it about those guys too? Because I've been with and coached with those guys, and they're different than the guy that comes in and he's dragging and, you know, acts like he doesn't want to be there.
Yeah. Well, I would also say, you see, in general, like working with those coaches that you were saying, that they're typically even keel. I know there's fluctuations on the top end and the bottom end, but in general, regardless of these other variables, these things that are happening in the season, we're getting down towards the end of the season, that there's a very minor fluctuation in their behavior, right, which athletes perceive that this hasn't changed. And I would say that might be an effective method as long as you're with the message that you're sending that's coming out of your mouth is in alignment with the with that. Keith, what do you think about some of these things we've been chatting here?
Well, I think that guy you mentioned that's even keeled, I think at heart that kind of guy really values the teaching component of it. And I know there's guys who get, like, for lack of better terms, really hype about things, especially early in the season, but they kind of go on that roller coaster ride a little bit. So I think it is about being able to find that even keel from week to week. And yes, you can, you know, elevate your emotions a little bit on game day or as you go into certain things, but being able to come back week to week and get out on a practice field and help your players learn. Like, I know for me, one of the things I struggled with over my time as a coach always was actually the weekend, and not just from the standpoint of, okay, I'm going to put in a work and figure out the game plan and those kinds of things, but just also dealing with the emotions that go along with the game. And I always found like the victories were very short-lived to me because I was always so excited to move on to the next game, and so I never really celebrated those. And then at the same time, the losses were too long-lived, I guess, where, you know, I maybe put too much of the responsibility on myself instead of looking at the process a little bit and what things might have failed. But ultimately for me, I couldn't wait to get to Monday. Win or lose, I couldn't wait to get to Monday and get back out there essentially to my classroom and do it again. And was one of those things as the season goes on, and especially, you know, you're at the college level and you know those seniors are done with football forever. How do you bring them to the end in the right way? I mean, there's not so much more you're going to do with their development, but you have to be respectful, I think, of getting those guys to the finish line. They put so much time into your program, so communicating to them and making sure they understand the value of what they provided, because I think your younger guys seeing that too, they start to understand their place in the program and their role and maybe what's ahead for them, because ultimately you're going to have those young guys that the season didn't go quite as they wanted, but you want them back. You don't want to lose them because maybe their individual goals weren't met. You have to find ways to, I think, also key in on some of those guys and like you said, read some of that body language, read their tone, how are they approaching things, and for lack of better words, get those guys at the finish line as well.
Yeah, I think you bring up a good point, too, in that one of your last comments there in relation to listening. And that's another key piece of communication that has nothing to do with what we're presenting information-wise, visually, verbally, or through something physical. Is this the being able to listen and watch and observe and read other people's body language so that you can communicate in response to that in a sensitive way? I don't want to say sensitive way, but just understanding the context in which you're presenting the message at an individual level. And you talked about those older guys, and I think, yeah, I mean, maybe it's like, how are we going to make them better physically is kind of like, it's kind of over. You're right. But maybe linking that back into some of the other things in relation to your beliefs, values. I mean, many coaches talk about developing athletes for life and these life skills as part of their philosophy. So how can we relink that back in? Because that's something that doesn't perhaps have to do with those directly related skills out on the field. Yet those are things that we talk about all the time, is developing athletes for life and how we can develop their life skills. So reinforcing perhaps that piece of the message of your philosophy or your mission and your program for some of those older guys.
I was thinking of transitions and to communicate to others to come back, to revisit. If you frame out that the January through December, you know, what touch points throughout the year can we engage alumni of the program? Can we have them come back? How do we stay in touch with them? Nowadays, we got social media and the text messaging groups and all those apps that can do that kind of stuff too. So I think the transition is there. And then meeting with those guys, the seniors, you know, after the fact, seeing what guys are doing, the next sport that they're playing, what activities they're going to be doing in the off season, reflecting with them about the season and setting some new goals then for the off season. Not with the young guys as they're, you know, still finishing up the season too, but starting to set up the team meetings and having a plan, a flexible plan, and different alternatives. If the season ends here, then we're going to set it up this way. If the season ends here and extends an extra couple weeks, then we'll do it this way. We've got the holiday break coming up as well. I thought one of the things too that we can communicate and others too is the ceremony. You know, you've got senior night, which everybody does. I mean, I don't think anybody skips senior night at all, and that's something that we sometimes forget of a way that we're communicating our and respecting, you know, those that have been there, you know, perhaps for 4 years. You know, I think doing some of those other rituals and having ceremonies like that, you know, with Tennessee, we did the last tackle was the thing. And for the seniors, the very last practice of the year, we got the pads out, and it was a big thing. And that was a kind of a, I don't want to say cute, but that was a way to kind of honor everybody. But I would reinforce, too, with all of them anyway, that you still honor your opponents, you honor your teammates, you know, when you come to practice and you get after it every day. You know, and that's the definition of, again, being a good competitor and having great character. If you're really going to build a character like that, then you're trying to reinforce those things, and you're modeling those things coming out every day. The right message, win or lose, you're going to work the process and try to figure out how to do it. And, you know, if you've got poor effort and poor attitude, that's not obviously going to help you in any regard.
You know, something you talked about there is really keying into the alumni, keying into your guys who are soon to be alumni, and essentially bringing that part. To me, that's tradition. I know, like, you can go through record books or you can look at all the different things that might be in your hallways of your school or, you know, your facility, whatever it might be. And it is not those things necessarily that are the tradition. It's the people and, you know, what they've brought to the program. I would always tell my high school guys that it's not just about this team. It's about the people who came before you and the people who came after you. And you want to link that in there and essentially build that, I guess, for lack of better terms, responsibility into your program, that you are representing something bigger than yourself. And I think, again, at this time of the year, that last week really is an opportunity. And most people will put that in, you know, their senior tackle specifically, I'm talking about in week 10. And one of the best that I was involved with really was at BW, and they had been doing this for years. And it was, they called it senior tackle, and it was the guy's last chance to hit that pad. But, you know, what they did was an underclassman who was close to that guy would spend just a couple minutes talking about him and what he meant to him specifically, what he saw that guy really bringing to the program, and maybe what will be missed about him. And it never really, I don't remember hearing anybody talk about the physical attributes of that guy. It was always character. It was always those positive things. And I think it's that great opportunity, again, talking about communication. When you can communicate those things, and those younger guys who maybe I talked about before being on the fringe of, do I want to come back here or not? And, you know, now they see maybe the bigger picture and going through something like that, that it's not about this 1 year. It's not about these 3 years. I'm part of something here forever. And the lessons I learned are going to carry me a long way.
Yeah. I think that's a great example of how, it's more, you know, in communication, it's more than just lip service. And we talk about these things that we're part of a bigger thing, and our alumni are still a piece of the program, but providing opportunity in, like you said, having that ritual, that's a demonstration to me when I'm thinking about this is, yeah, you're showing what's coming out of your mouth. And that's powerful communication, I think, and certainly a key concept in what some of the literature says in respect to aligning actions and behaviors with what's coming out of your mouth.
And we know from, you know, research on memory, too, that things that are emotional or how you feel are going to stick with you longer. So a lot of these things, too, that we're talking about, the whole discussion today so far has been quite a big emotional talk, you know, about how people are feeling, you know, what's going on, that sense of empathy and understanding somebody else where they're at and maintaining emotional balance as a coach, that you're not too high or too low, that you're showing up every day and showing that consistency. So I think a lot of what we're talking about too is the positive feel good bonding that can occur, you know, on the team sport, and talking about things that happen in the process of competing on the field, the off the field things, the training, the practices, the team trips and activities. You know, those are all ways for people to develop a sense of belonging and feel that they're a part of something. You know, again, right? I was sitting here thinking about it, like, okay, what's the critical side? What's the negative? You know, you got to be careful people don't overconform and identify too much and too strongly, too. And that, right, we're more than just a football player or an athlete, that we are people, we're brothers and sons and fathers and mothers, et cetera. And we've got jobs and, you know, the best hopefully are and continued things are good things are going to come. Take those skills that we learn through, you know, football off the field as well. And that we don't, you know, support the bad things as well. So we've got to be critical about those things. I think it's the feelings and the emotional tie-in now, especially towards the end of the season, as those things are coming up and those folks and seniors are realizing this might be the end for them. And that's, again, what do a lot of coaches do is you try to tap into that early. You say, this is the last November of practice and Tuesday that you're ever going to have in your life, whether you're a freshman or a sophomore, junior, senior. You know, and so what you're trying to do is motivate people and get them to understand that, you know, this is the last day for you, no matter what. So make the best of it.
You don't want to take any opportunities for granted. To take a look, I guess, at that other end of the spectrum, the teams that do continue on and go into the playoffs. I think there's a group in there, and specifically I'm thinking of the junior varsity guys, that communication with them is important now too, because they don't have any games left. You know, there's no junior varsity playoffs, so they're left to essentially just help prepare the rest of the team. And those guys, other than being on the sideline on Friday nights, you know, they're pretty much done playing. So communication with those guys and the importance of their role and the importance of them remaining focused, I think, needs to be part of your communication as well.
I mean, there's certainly plenty of coaches that talk about know your role, do your job. And that a lot of those guys have got to understand. And that's one thing, too, that we talk about when we read about John Wooden, too, is that, you know, Wooden said, at least in one of his books, that he wished he would have praised the backups a little bit more. So, you know, coaches can definitely convey that those guys are important, that they're not just, you know, there to get tackled and beat down or hold a pad. But, you know, when it's their turn as well, they're going to be appreciative of those younger guys usually that are helping the older guys get better. And still, it's a way for them to grow and understand the game and have a good time while they're out there. Hopefully, people are enjoying the process and out there having, you know, some type of positive affect from the experience. Otherwise, they're probably not going to be around, you know, if people are hazing them or beating them up or saying bad things to them.
Well, I think about, like, that role change, just that whole I don't know, is it really a role change? Like Keith said, if we have, like, that 10th grader, JV's over, yeah. Like, does their role really change?
Well,
I mean, because they typically were probably did some scout team stuff and the first team guys, and then, you know, maybe they would go over to, you know, JV or get some of the secondary reps or third string reps, which are much more limited. But, you know, how does that really role change in respect to some of those guys where we can get them, if there is a need to change kind of our communication method them based on that role change?
If the role is, you know, to compete and do the values that we're out here preaching about, to get better, to work hard, then they're always going to be doing that. It's manifested differently, right? Manifested in what they're actually doing in practice, right? Giving a scout team look, running through a drill or holding the ball or a tackling bag, manifested differently. If you're going to be a bag holder, be the best bag holder that you can.
Yeah.
You know, if you're going to give a scout team snap, then give the best snap that you can.
Yeah, so that might be an example of just kind of redirecting. We're still going back to our pleas, but we're still connecting, and we have to communicate for them, because they may not see that connection between, hey, coach, we've been saying this since day one. You know, coaches say, this is our mission. This is what we do. This is our beliefs and values. Now we get to the thing where, you know, an athlete may perceive that as, okay, it's changed. Right now, you know, there's no more JV games. I'm not even getting third string reps anymore. I'm strictly kind of scout team. I think you're right. We can still make that connection. It's still there. Our core beliefs and values or missions are there. It's just maybe we have to kind of reframe that message and how we present that so that they understand that, look, we're still doing what we've been doing since day one here. It's just a little bit different context.
The reality, too, I mean, I'm thinking of a lot of coaches, too, that are going to point out that, you know, throughout the season, not just at the last minute, and it's going to happen every year. It's going to happen every year. And the coaches see it, and they point it out that somebody's going to have to step up, somebody's going to get hurt or go down with, you know, perhaps grades and eligibility or the reason. Maybe they got mono and they got an enlarged spleen and the doc says you can't play this week. So what's going to happen is some young guy is going to step up and make some plays. And that's the type of thing that we got to go back into a role if somebody comes back and they're better. But you keep competing and you're pushing yourself to get better. You're pushing others to get better. Still honoring the game, doing the best that you can that way and being a competitor. So you can emphasize those things in part of the plan. And coaches do that, you know, so much tacitly that they'll praise somebody that stepped in and did something like that. And maybe they go back to their role as the backup, but then later on in the season, they've got to step up again because that other guy's out for whatever reason. We had it years ago when I was coaching high school football down in Mississippi. Our tight end, DN, was late because of ineligibility, and then he ended up tearing his ACL in one of the last games of the year. You know, a young guy had to step up and get ready. That was that. And so you wanted to work hard and get him prepared the best you could. And sometimes, you know, in practices, right, you say these things, but then you also, you know, let's assume somebody's out and you figure out, you know, what you're going to do in that scenario.
You know, when I think of this from the coach perspective, and I would always tell guys, I get another season. I get as many of these as I would like to get, essentially. And for the coach, you got to think about this rolling into the next season. You don't, you know, you're going to take some time off, whether it's, you know, till January or whatever, and that may end this Friday or five Fridays from now, somewhere in between. Essentially, the main things, the culture of your program is going to stay consistent. You want that to roll into your next season in a positive way because you've communicated well and you've established those things. So while the theme might change, and I know a lot of coaches change their theme for the year, I think you're still going to stay true to what is the link that really holds your program together. What have you determined are the pillars of your program? Those things have to continue in your communication with your team as you tie up the season.
I'm thinking of a couple of research papers on like the pregame pep talk or like the, you know, the themes. I haven't seen any research on themes, you know, but I got to think that overall is a significant factor. You know, the consistency of the coach behaviors, the planning, decision-making, developing talent, the proper instruction, effective instruction, those are going to be bigger factors in producing better outcomes than a theme or a pep talk or, you know, a rah-rah type of thing, you know, the up-and-down approach.
Right.
You got to put in the hours to get better.
Yeah. Well, Brian, I think that's a really interesting comment you meant because, I mean, some of the research that I've read on those pep talks, I mean, generally they're low effectiveness in regards to motivation and having, like, these magical responses from the athletes. I mean, from what I've seen in that research, it's like maybe one or two players may get in on that, but then some may fake it and some may even drop down lower after the pep talk where those things happen. But that's just an example of, I think, going back to like staying even keel and staying consistent with some of those things where it's not totally just, well, where is this coming from? And then we get a disconnect in the communication, perhaps.
It's tough. I mean, I was thinking of a halftime game. We were down by a 7 or so to a team that we should have been playing a lot tighter. And at halftime, I felt like the energy was a little bit low. And, you know, as a way of stimulating their arousal and to get a little bit more energy and get people more locked in and more focused, I did a little bit of a rah-rah, you know, showing some intensity. And it's there. I mean, you know, the seriousness of the intensity is always underlining. You know, I'm not too much of a rah-rah kind of guy, too. But I think the quality of the communication strategy, I'm offering good instruction. You know, I'm thinking about how come this guy's not developing or what doesn't he understand about how we're running this play? How come he's not moving his body correctly? So the physical components of it, you know, we've talked about those things, you know, in previous weeks as well. And then, you know, the physical or the mental side of things, too. Like, what am I really doing to build somebody's confidence or motivation? Arousal management, energy management, we've talked about a bit. So I think, you know, staying true then throughout the season to the values, the beliefs, reinforcing those things as the core of the program and yourself modeling those things as a coach too. You're not going to solve magically the last week with some type of grand circus talk.
Yeah.
So you've got to be, you know, punching the clock and doing those things and reflecting, you know, seeing what you've been doing year round and throughout the season, not expect to have a big switch and not disappearing either. You know, not, hey, we're playing the opponent, so I've got to get all stiffened up and too tight and try to overcoach this thing. Or so loose and so you know, goofy that it has the opposite effect.
Yeah.
I was thinking it's really hard to kind of speak about these situational, you know, highly contextual moments, but you want coaches to be sensitive and aware of that and then adjust as they need it and develop their toolkit to handle it.
Yeah, well, I mean, because even when I was talking, was kind of presented it, even in this podcast, was like, oh, well, pregame speeches are, I kind of let off that way. Yeah. I mean, but yeah, there's still fluctuations. Like I could do a pregame speech, but it's not like totally out of character.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, I mean, I may mix them in to get that little rise that we want, but it's totally still not, it's still within my character and what I've been kind of communicating the whole way, which I think might be that gray area, just kind of manipulating things in this fluid type communication approach rather than don't do this, yes, do this. You know what I mean?
In one of the communicational theories, they talk about like consistency and predictability versus unpredictable and situational. So it's that ebb and flow of some things are going to kind of be core things, but then other things are going to be more varied and changed based on the situation and context.
So there's the professors again contradicting the whole podcast.
There you go.
Nobody wants the answer of you got to think and you got to adjust. And here's some things we think that you should do. And here's other times where you got to make an adjustment. You know, it's not a throw your hands up and you guys know everything or nothing. It's, well, we think things are complex and things are sometimes have different tensions and pull in different directions. Right.
Well, I think the key thing with any coach and in any situation is what you just said. You have to really, you know, remain true to yourself, and it has to fit with who you are as a coach. And maybe you work to develop that along the way. But, you know, let's just go back to that pregame talk. I mean, if that's not you, the players are going to figure that out real quick. I think of a football movie from some time ago. I'm trying to think of the name of it, but I remember this coach standing up and, you know, he took over for the head coach and he was wearing the same tie and doing all these things and trying to be that guy and gets up in front of the team at halftime and they're losing. He said, let's evaluate what's working. And I think there were a few expletives in there, but he said, absolutely nothing. He's ripping off his tie and putting all these things away and then just going back to being himself. And I think that's what this is, you know, in your communication, you have to have set this up to be true to what your program is about and consistent with that message. And then in the delivery and how you do that, you have to be doing things that are authentic. You can't try to be somebody else. You can't do things you might work to, you know, stretch those limits of who you are and how you communicate and work on those things and develop. But ultimately, if you're out there and what's coming out of you is fake and you don't believe it and you're delivering it in that way, then, you know, the players certainly aren't going to be able to connect with you, and they'll see that right away.
Yeah, I would just add that in alignment with exactly what you said is where we find that disconnect, where be out of character. It's aligning the words coming out of your mouth with the behaviors, and then and just have an alignment there in an effective communication approach.
Guys, I've enjoyed going through the season here, you know, weeks 1 through 10, really going through a process here for coaches. We're going to continue with this and talk about things that we can do as we wrap up the season and really prepare both our players and ourselves for the off season and really the next season here beyond. So appreciate you guys taking the time today, and we'll be back at it next week.
Thanks, Keith.
Thanks for having us again. Yep, appreciate it.
Thanks for listening to USA Football's Coach and Coordinator Podcast. For more resources, visit the Coach Performance Center at usafootball.com.